You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I want to compare two individuals and their reactions to be quarantined. Both of these are nurses that went over to West Africa and cared for and treated to the best of their ability, because there's really no cure or treatment that can cure the Ebola virus. But they gave their time, volunteered their time for the care of the people that are coming down with the disease and dying from the disease. As of right now, over 10,000 people have the Ebola virus in West Africa. Many suspect that that number truly understates the situation. But that's from the World Health Organization. And obviously, we're ending the month Friday, so sometime next week, we'll have an update as to what the official count in terms of cases and deaths is. But over 10,000 people, if you add up the cases in West Africa and adjoining countries, as well as 5,000 people, over 5,000 people, have died of the disease. So the mortality rate is not 50%, it's really over 70%. Because many of those people that have come down with the disease will die. It's only after the Ebola virus has burnt out, and that takes, according to the World Health Organization, 42 days, which is twice the maximum quarantine period of 21 days. Because you're hearing that 21-day number, and I'll explain that in a minute, but that is the maximum incubation period for people that are infected with Ebola before they show symptoms. Most people show symptoms in the 8th to 10th day, and then it gets progressively worse as the symptoms get worse. But I wanted to compare how two volunteers handle the situation. Now, I will second Governor Rick Perry's description of these people as healthcare heroes. I think they are healthcare heroes because they're running a tremendous risk that they too can come down with the Ebola virus. And I'm in Dallas, Texas, and two nurses that were trying to take care of Thomas Eric Duncan were positively confirmed to have the Ebola virus. And they were taken to two hospitals that could take care of them, provide supportive care. And fortunately for them, they are now Ebola free. But remember, healthcare in the United States is much better than in West Africa in terms of just the people, the training, the facilities, and what they can do for you. That's not the case in West Africa, especially because there are very poor countries with limited resources, and this has placed a tremendous burden on their healthcare system. They don't have 5,000 hospitals, over 5,000 hospitals that we have in the United States. And if you've seen pictures of the clinics and hospitals they do have, it's rather primitive. But you do have doctors there, local doctors, as well as nurses and other people trying to care for the Ebola victims or patients, and over 200 of them have died so far. And that number is probably low because it's a somewhat dated number. I wouldn't be surprised if it's over 300. So I salute both these nurses, as well as other doctors and nurses and other individuals that have volunteered to go into a high-risk area, a poor countries, risk their lives to take care of people that have come down with the Ebola virus. And most of them don't have a good, the prognosis is not very good, because 70% maybe even higher, are dying of the disease. So at best, 3 out of 10, or about 30%, live. It's not like everyone dies. It depends on the strain of Ebola that you get, your fiscal health when you got it, how soon you went to the hospital, and how good the care was there. There are a lot of variables here. But the one thing that the World Health Organization says, and has repeatedly said, as has the Center for Disease Control, is the so-called incubation period for the Ebola virus is a minimum of 2 to 3 days, up to a maximum of 21 days, with the typical average between 8 and 10 days before you start showing some of the early symptoms of Ebola, which is a splitting headache and a fever. However, there have been people that have gotten the disease after 21 days. 21 days is, to a certain extent, an arbitrary cutoff, because people have been known to get the disease up to 42 days, some even longer. But in terms of the World Health Organization information, about 98% of all the cases of Ebola break out within 42 days, and approximately 95% of the cases happen within the first 21 days. Now, I'm giving you this history because I'm leading up to something. These nurses spent time, as well as other people. They made a decision, for example, first to become a doctor or become a nurse or an orderly or whatever their chosen career or profession is. That usually involves an extensive period of education, both at the undergraduate level and obviously if you're becoming a doctor or what we have in the United States is a physician assistant. It also requires additional information. I've actually looked into this at one time, and it's a lot of education. It's a lot of biology courses, a lot of chemistry courses, some physics. You have to take a lot of science courses, statistics, psychology, just to get in, for example, medical school, or if you want to be a physician assistant. And if you're a nurse, there are courses you have to take as an undergraduate, besides the basic science courses. And there's, unfortunately, in the United States, and I say unfortunately because I don't agree what's going on, the schools or universities that offer these programs restrict the number of people that can go to the schools. Now, they will argue, well, we're just trying to keep our standards high. But what you need to understand, there are many, many thousands of people that are qualified, have the grades, that don't get into these schools. And inevitably, what they do is then seek education abroad. That's somewhat of a last resort, but they do it and can get accepted if they want to pursue it. Some get discouraged and don't. But what they're really doing is limiting the supply of doctors and nurses. That's a separate issue. But the point I'm trying to make is this. They have decided on a long course of education, many, many years, before they can be licensed as either a physician, a physician's assistant, or a nurse. And they have to take tests for that after they've passed and met the minimal education requirement. We're talking years, folks. In terms of doctors, at least 8 years. And then you have your residency if you're a doctor. So you've spent a lot of time, a lot of energy in a very competitive environment with limited opportunities in the sense they're, because the schools try to keep people out, instead of letting all the people in that meet the qualifications. I'm not saying lowering the standard, but it might surprise you that there are people that have taken the courses, have the grades. There's also exams they have to take. But because of the sheer competition for a limited amount of spots, it's not easy to get admitted even to the program. So after they've done all that and some of starting practice, they should decide to volunteer their time to address a medical emergency, a healthcare emergency in Africa. It's a sacrifice to many of these people and to their families, and they're literally risking their lives. I applaud their efforts, and I salute them, but I do have a problem. We now have several of these nurses and doctors that have returned to the United States. Some actually already had the Ebola virus and were brought back to hospitals. For example, the University of Nebraska Medical Center, Emory, where that nurse just got out of, but other hospitals, and were treated, and they beat the disease. In other words, eventually, due to the vigorous treatment state-of-the-art facilities, professional staffs there of doctors and nurses. They are now Ebola-free. Others were fortunate. They left West Africa, whether it's Liberia, Guinea, or Sierra Leone, and have returned to the United States. And now, upon their return, some are learning for the first time, some are already in country and are about to return, that many states, including Texas, including New York, including New Jersey, including Illinois and Maine and others, Virginia, I'm not going to name them all, but some of your larger states, are now insisting by law that for 21 days, if you come back to the country and you represent that you were in fact treating in contact, direct contact with Ebola patients, you will submit to a 21-day quarantine period. Now remember, you don't have any symptoms, and that's very, very important. You don't have any symptoms. That is not the test, whether you have symptoms or not. The test is, were you in these countries and were you treating patients that had Ebola? And these doctors and nurses answer, yes, I was. That's why I went over there. I wasn't a tourist. It wasn't a vacation. I wasn't there on business. I was volunteering my time to help these people in these poor, undeveloped countries. And they did. Some spent weeks, months doing it. And they were risking their lives and for little or no pay. Yes, their travel expenses, living expenses were paid for, but they're volunteers. I'm sure many of you have done this. I know I have volunteered my time for various professional societies that I've been associated with. I didn't get paid for that, and I wasn't expecting to be paid for it. And those hours add up. There are some people that decide not to do that. That's their decision. That's fine. I decided to volunteer my time in several professional organizations in the financial services industry. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just saying that is a common experience, and that's all over the United States and in other countries. People will volunteer time. It's not open-ended, and to a certain extent, it is at their convenience, and it's usually over a limited number of years. I don't do that anymore, but at one time, I was very active in several professional organizations and chaired many committees, was an officer in at least one, and that's what I chose to do. Now I don't choose to do it because I'm no longer in that profession practice. But the point I'm trying to make, volunteering your time to provide service to your community and other professional organizations is something Americans do across the country, and they decide how they want to do it. Some, it could be church-related or charity-related or educational-related. There are many avenues. If you want to do this, you can. And it's going on today as I speak. And these individuals, these doctors and nurses that spend a long time just educating themselves so they could practice their chosen profession, then went over to these countries to aid people. Very commendable. And I agree with Governor Rick Perry. His description was, these are health care heroes. And I salute and applaud their effort. But here's where I somewhat have a problem or a concern. And I'm using the two nurses that came back. My understanding is both these nurses did treat patients and had direct contact with patients that had Ebola. They freely admit that. It's not a secret. And when they came back, they were informed, depending on where their plane landed, that they would have to be in quarantine for 21 days. Not a voluntary quarantine, a mandatory quarantine. And not because they have symptoms of the disease, but because they were in these countries and were treating patients with Ebola. Now, this is not an arbitrary law. They weren't purposely selecting an individual. In other words, you had to meet certain criteria. Were you in these specific countries? Did you treat these Ebola patients? That rules out people that were in these countries that on business or vacation. I don't think many people are vacationing in these countries, but I'm sure there are a few people that have gone over that are going there on business, that people have investments in these countries, even though many foreigners have left the country because of the breakout, especially over the last 6 months or so. So these two nurses return. We heard about one that landed in New Jersey and was delayed at the airport, questioned extensively, grilled extensively, and they repeatedly took her temperature, not with a thermometer that you stick in your mouth, but with these laser-held devices that take your temperature. Now, depending on the device you have, there's a question of their accuracy or how reliable they are. Now, initially, this nurse did not have a temperature, and that's important. She did not have initially a temperature. But here's the qualifier. After being detained for several hours, she did develop a temperature. And it was at this point that they decided, the public health officials in New Jersey decided, in conjunction with the Center for Disease Control, to transfer her to a local hospital. And you've already probably heard the stories and seen them on television. I don't watch television. But this lady was held in a tent next to this hospital. Now, I understand why the hospital did this. They didn't want her potentially infecting other patients in the hospital. They were concerned. They were concerned for their staff, doctors and nurses, as well as patients already in the hospital. So the way they decided to treat this was first set up a tent where she was brought, and doctors came in with gear on. They didn't want to get infected, and they took her temperature. And what they found out was she wasn't running a temperature. It was normal. It was normal. They also ran a test that the World Health Organization has established to determine whether or not you have Ebola, and she didn't have it. The point being is, at the hospital, when she told the doctor, they didn't take my temperature with a more accurate thermometer that you place under your in your mouth, under your tongue. They did the lasers, and the lasers were wrong. And they repeatedly took her temperature. It just wasn't once. It was over a period of time or duration that they took her temperature. And while they were doing that, periodically monitoring her, they were running this test that usually takes 4 to 6 hours on an expedited basis. They determined that she did not have the Ebola virus, which she maintained she did not have it. And she said, well, I'm symptom free. I've treated patients, but to my knowledge, I never broke the protocol. There was no direct contact. And throughout her journey home, with the exception of us at the airport, where initially she didn't have a temperature and then she did, a determination was made that she didn't have the Ebola virus, nor did she have a temperature. And what happened? They transferred her, let her leave New Jersey, and return to her home in Maine. Now, this nurse complained, and I might have complained too, because I don't think the manner of the treatment at the airport was the best. I'm not saying she was mistreated, but it could have been handled a little bit better. Now, I know what the problem is. This is their first case, and it came on the heels of the fact that we had a doctor in New York who was back for a week, again, initially had no symptoms. However, Thursday morning developed a fever and other symptoms and was sent to Bellevue Hospital, where they subsequently confirmed that he did have the Ebola virus. So immediately you had two cases. One, well, really, both situations initially, both the doctor and the nurse did not have symptoms. They were screened at the airport leaving whichever country they were in, either Guinea or Liberia. And upon landing in the United States, were screened at the airport, and they self-monitored themselves. And when the doctor went out, rode the subways, was in a restaurant, a bowling alley. In other words, he was moving around New York City and getting ready to return to his normal job as a doctor. But then something happened. He developed the symptoms of the Ebola case. In other words, they tested him, and the results were positive, and now he's fighting for his life in Bellevue. Contrast that with the nurse. Remember, the doctor was back a week before this happened. A week. And initially, during that week, he had none of the symptoms. And then suddenly, last Thursday, he did. And before you knew it, he was in Bellevue Hospital. The nurse comes back that week. And I believe that day that the doctor came down with this. I think that's some of the reaction to this. Probably totally under... I don't know this for a fact, but most likely unaware what just happened in New York and a little bit puzzled as for her treatment. And then the New Jersey governors, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, as well as Governor of New York Andrew Cuomo, had a joint press conference with the mayor of New York, Bill Blasio. And the point of the press conference was... Both states, according to law, the laws of both states, were going to require anyone returning from West Africa that's symptom-free. In other words, they're not presenting themselves with any symptoms of the Ebola virus. They don't have a fever. They don't have a headache. They don't have a stomach ache. They don't feel weak. In other words, it's normal. They feel okay. You know, I don't have a fever, I feel okay. That these people would, by law, they would order them to be quarantined for 21 days in their home. Now, the reason they do that is based on science, medical science, namely people that have studied this disease and dealt with this disease, know that you have a highly variable rate in terms of what the incubation period of the disease is. And you've heard it over and over again, a minimum of 2 to 3 days, up to a maximum of 21 days, even though there have been cases where people have been symptom-free for more than 21 days. But the vast majority, approximately 95% of the cases, they develop symptoms within the first 21 days. And most of the patients, it's usually day 8 to 10. In other words, from the point they were actually infected with the Ebola virus, usually by direct contact, we're not 100% sure of that because it could be airborne, but usually within 8 to 10 days, a person will start getting the symptoms, namely a fever, a headache, a splitting headache, weak all over, coughing and sneezing. Those are the early symptoms. And guess what? Those are the early symptoms for someone with the flu, that's the flu virus, or a cold, or the cold virus. You can't tell them apart unless you do the actual test to determine whether you have Ebola virus. And that takes time, and it costs money. And most people, if they haven't been to West Africa and haven't been treating those people, that's what they probably have. They have a case of the flu, or maybe allergies, or a cold. And that's what you need to understand, because we're approaching winter. Although it's been rather warm and very nice weather in Dallas for October, usually it's by now it should have been a little cold, but it isn't. It's gradually getting there, and it's only a matter of time before we have a cold snap. In other words, cold air from Canada will come into Texas, and we'll have a cold spell, and temperatures will plunge. Anyway, it takes time to determine whether or not someone has the Ebola virus. And the reason why the states impose this quarantine is to protect the public health of its citizens, whether it's in Texas, New Jersey, New York, or any state. And it is the states that have primary responsibility to try to protect the health of the citizens of their state. That's the way it's set up in the United States. And keep in mind, Texas is, in terms of both size and people, is many times larger than most of the countries in the world. The same with California, New York, to a lesser extent, New Jersey and Illinois. These are, even though they're states, they have a lot of people in them. I'm not sure the exact population of Texas, but it's over 25 million people. I'm probably low, but at least 25 million. I need to check that out, and I will in the future. Need to nail that down. So we're not talking about small areas. And in Texas, as well as in New York, you have large cities such as Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, that are the Dallas-Fort Worth region or metropolitan region, that have millions of people. Millions of people. So you have a high population density, although we do have suburbs. So you need to understand it is in the United States the responsibility of the governor and various public health officials. We have departments that are responsible for public health. In other words, we have government departments and bureaucracies set up whose primary responsibility is to protect the public health of its citizens. And one way to protect the public health of its citizens, case of Texas, millions of people, same thing with New Jersey, Illinois, and New York, is quarantine. And you need to understand you don't have to have the disease to be quarantined. You don't. The requirement is you have been to varying degrees in contact with people that have the disease, the Ebola virus disease. And all of these people that I've been talking about, the doctor and two nurses, that is the case. It's not a question. That's not open to discussion. They admit it. They volunteered for Doctors with No Borders. These were volunteer health care heroes that were over there treating Ebola patients. So it's not unreasonable at all for the governors of these states to require that these nurses and doctors that return from West Africa by law be quarantined in their home, and that's usually where the quarantine is, for 21 days, and be monitored every day to make sure they're not running any of the symptoms or have any of the symptoms of the Ebola virus disease. And what that usually means is twice a day, a public health official comes to the door and takes their temperature. Now, to some extent, this can be done over the computer, where if you have a camera, for example, I do have a camera on me now, although I've closed it down and you probably can't see me. But someone in a public health office could have a two-way video conference and actually see a person taking their temperature and showing it. But what most states do is at least once a day, some cases twice a day, a public health official will come to your door and they will ask you some questions and take your temperature. That is caution. That's doing the right thing, because you don't want this person to be in contact with many individuals. You are limiting this person's contact really to their immediate family. That is the wise thing to do. That's the appropriate thing to do. That's the scientific thing to do. You don't want any of these people accidentally spreading the disease to others that are totally unaware who you are, where you've been, and what you're doing. Because that's what the doctor did. I don't think he intended to infect New Yorkers. He thought that he had followed the protocols, did not have Ebola. He was not running the symptoms until last Thursday morning, a week ago tomorrow. And then he suddenly got the symptoms. And that's the important point. Ebola has an incubation period, and it's variable. And his falls in line with, you typically get it, manifests or presents the symptoms in the 8th to 10th day after you've become contagious. Now, I don't know when he stopped treating patients. He might have had a couple of days off, but that's why you have it. It's a minimum of 2 to 3 to 21 days. And really, if you want to be super conservative about it, which I tend to want to do, I'd make it 42 days, but that's a minority view, and I understand that. But the reason I say that is these viruses mutate. And 21 days might be totally appropriate for past strains, but you don't know whether or not this virus has mutated. And they do it all the time because they're replicating all the time. They're so, so small. They're literally over 100,000 on the tip of a needle. You can't see them. You need an electron microscope to even get a photograph of them, and it's difficult even then to determine what you're dealing with, what type of virus you have, and whether it's a different strain. So I'm leading up to something. I think I'm for limited government, but, and here's the big but, there's certain functions that governments have
Noted, I didn't say no government. I'm for government, just limited government. But one of the functions, the legitimate functions of government, besides having the responsibility to defend the people of a nation against foreign attack, is to protect the people of a nation against attack by various diseases and microbes. And why this quarantine order? Well, it's not unusual. It's just it's not in the news. It's in the news now, but people are quarantined. And it's usually because there's a reason for it. They've been in contact with people that have an infectious disease. And you don't want that person to spread the disease to the general population of a community, a city, or a county or state. Now, the lady that returned today landed in an airport in Texas, was met by a public health official from the state, asked some questions. You know, where were you? Were you treating Ebola patients? And the answer is yes. And they determined she had no symptoms. She wasn't running a fever. She didn't have any symptoms. But the state of Texas is requiring, like other states, that she be in quarantine for a period of 21 days. And that will be in her home, wherever that is. Now, they have not released the person's name, nor where they're living, and that's understandable. But it's required. It's not optional here. And that needs to be emphasized. This is government coercion. There's no doubt about that. No one likes to be confined to their home for 21 days. However, I will say this. Assuming your home has a radio, a television, some books, 21 days will go fairly quickly. Again, assuming you have no symptoms. So it's not an onerous requirement. And there has to be trade-offs, and trade-offs are made. Namely, the health of Texans is more important than the health of one Texan, no matter how commendable this person is in terms of volunteering their time to serve in and treat people that have a very lethal disease. And this person accepted that. And I'm sure she's home now, starting her 21-day quarantine. And I even have a lot more respect for this. This person showed, I think, class. She did what I would say is the right thing, because she should understand how dangerous and lethal the disease is. Compare that with the behavior of the nurse, who also got her degree at the University of Texas at Arlington, nursing degree. That's my understanding. It's a good school. I'm an alumnus of that school. But mine's not nursing. Mine's in accounting, and it's a master's graduate level. But that's an aside. It's a very good, reputable school in Texas, UTA. And she decided to pursue a career in nursing, decided to volunteer her time. Again, all commendable behavior. And I can understand why she was a little upset with the way she was treated initially by the state of New Jersey. I think it could have been handled just a little bit better. I think everyone will admit that. But I think once she understood why the state was doing this, I think she should have accepted it and gone home, as she did, admittedly with a delay and an inconvenience, and now will be in quarantine in Maine, and the governor of Maine is insisting it's not voluntary, it's mandatory, and the governor of Maine is insisting that she stay in her home for 21 days. Now, she has gone on television, not in a studio in New York, but through Skype, and said tomorrow, Thursday, she's not going to continue to be in quarantine. She's already, in effect, been quarantined for 7 days and really been checked by doctors. That's good. So she has really 14 days left. 14 days by my count. Now, I don't know how Maine is going to, where they're going to start the clock and end the clock, but the fact that it's been 14 days and she is self-monitoring, I think that is the appropriate response, because if you start to get any of the symptoms, you better be on the phone and to a hospital as quick as you can get. But she's hired a lawyer, and they're thinking about suing the state of New Jersey and now probably the state of Maine. They're violating her constitutional rights. Well, excuse me. No, they're not. We're a nation of laws and the rule of law. And the citizens of the United States and the citizens of each of these states have elected representatives, and they have passed laws that deal with public health. And one of the things they approve of is quarantine. And the test is, the standard is, not that you have the disease, but rather, have you been in contact with people that have had it? And by that test, all of three of these people should be and are in quarantine. Now, there's a second step. If you manifest or present the symptoms, such as the doctor has in New York, starting last Thursday, and now is in intensive care in Bellevue Hospital, the second step is they put you in isolation, and he is in isolation, and that's where you should be. So don't confuse quarantine with isolation, because many people are confusing the two. You're put in order to be in isolation where you have manifest symptoms of. In this case, there's a test for, and it's been determined you have the Ebola virus, and that's where you want to be, and that's where the state wants you to be, because they want to control or contain the disease to you. So I don't particularly appreciate the nurse doing what she's doing. I think she needs to grow up, and on reflection, consider the fact she could very well, and I hope this does not happen, but in a day, a week, maybe 2 weeks from now, develop the symptoms of Ebola, and then she will be put in isolation. She will be put in a hospital, and she'll be demanding that she be treated. And she will be treated. My point is this. We have millions of people in all these states. In some of the large cities, we have over a million people in Dallas. Everyone is a potential patient might have the Ebola virus. We still have people that are being in quarantine, that are being monitored in the Dallas area. Now, some of those 21-day periods are about to run out, thank God. And no one else has come up with it, and that's good. But you don't know because of the variability of the incubation period. So the public health, ladies and gentlemen, comes first. It trumps this lady's inconvenience, and I can understand she was a little upset last Thursday the way she was treated. Get over it. And I have a lot more respect for the nurse in Texas and her response to the situation than the nurse now in Maine. Because I pose a question to everybody that's over there and is coming back. Do you want to be the individual that comes back and spreads to the disease to Americans, wherever you're from, New York, New Jersey, Maine, Texas? I don't think they want that. I'm sure they don't want to be held responsible. I bet today that doctor regrets his behavior. I don't think he intended to hurt or deliberately infect anybody. But because he did not limit his activities and was not put in a mandatory quarantine, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of potential Ebola patients that he came in contact with. And we don't truly understand everything about the Ebola virus. Yes, you've been told repeatedly that the only way you can get this is direct contact with the body fluids, namely the blood, mucus, vomiting, sweat or perspiration, urine, feces, and that means most people will never directly come in contact with an Ebola patient or those. But here's the problem. If the Ebola virus has mutated and has become airborne, and you have one of these returnees, healthcare, whether it's a doctor or nurse or whatever, returns, and because of casual contact, they're in the same space, and they might sneeze or cough, there is still a risk, even though it's small, that person could be infected. So you need to err on the side of caution. Err on the side of caution to protect the public health of the American people. And that's what the American people want, and poll after poll is showing that. They want these people to be quarantined. And they also, obviously, if they are really sick, be in a hospital, be isolated. That's what the American people want. But apparently we have a president that wants to, believe it or not, the State Department today is planning to import Ebola patients into the United States for treatment. I'm not saying U.S. citizens or residents. I'm talking foreigners. Aliens is the technical term. People born, raised, educated in these countries, whether it's Liberia, Guinea, Sierra Leone, wherever, send them back to the United States, as well as any volunteers that go over there from other nations. They want the United States to be responsible for their health care should they develop the disease. My answer to that is absolutely not, but that's what the State Department is planning. Now, what you need to understand, and I really do understand this, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to treat just one patient. We're talking anywhere between $500,000 to $1 million. It's very expensive to treat these people. And most of our U.S. hospitals simply are not prepared to do that. And it really is disruptive of the hospital that actually is treating it. And that's exactly what has happened at Bellevue Hospital. They've had to divert and transfer patients in their intensive care units to other hospitals such as New York University's hospital. The United States, there's a report out, I don't have time to cover it, I'm looking at the clock, that basically says U.S. hospitals are not prepared to treat Ebola patients. And that's true because they're not a biocontainment facility. They're not equipped with spacesuits, and that's what you truly need if you're really serious about this. And I've done that on last Friday's show, so I'm not going to do it here. But with an exception of four hospitals, all the other over 5,000 hospitals in the United States, they're not set up to treat an Ebola patient. They don't have the resources. This is very expensive treatment. You need several nurses around the clock, because if they develop the serious symptoms, you're dealing with massive amount of vomit, diarrhea, bleeding. This is truly intensive care, but what's different is it's dangerous, highly dangerous, and you need to be wearing spacesuits to protect yourself from coming in direct contact with someone that has the Ebola virus and is now in the latter stages where you're bleeding from your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. So to end on a positive note, I applaud and salute all the volunteers, both past, present, and future, that dedicate their time, money, resources, and really risk their lives to treat anybody with Ebola or any other infectious disease. It's commendable. They are healthcare heroes. But after saying that, no healthcare hero comes back and deliberately risks the health of the American people. And that's why the American people now are insisting, as are the governors of various states are insisting, that these people, to be safe for everyone's protection, be put in quarantine for 21 days. And during that period, should they develop the symptoms of the Ebola virus, then be sent to a hospital in an isolation ward or intensive care facility to be treated, to minimize the risk of spreading this very lethal and contagious disease to other people. With that, let's salute all the American people with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.